Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and Tommy is sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
We got... Bethesda and Ubi and Games as a Service is back, which I think will be some interesting discussion. We also have Wolfenstein on the Switch and how they made that work. And super pumped about this. We've got segments today. We have a segment from our boy Brigham we'll get to in just a second. And then we also have a brand new GU Boogie from our boy Cabbage.
I am pumped!
Which should be amazing. So we've got some fun stuff today. How you doing, man?
I'm just really glad that I showed up for the show. Apparently my eyes don't work. And I just happened to catch a text from you that's like, I'm 5 or 10 minutes behind. And I thought, oh, crap. Because I thought you said 5 and you actually said 3, which tells me, ladies and gentlemen, that I can't see anything.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not good.
I will say, you and I are both getting older. You a little older than I, but at this point, the difference is becoming more and more negligible. I have noticed a couple of times when, like, I'm looking at my phone or something, that I'm like, "Huh, that's kind of blurry," you know. And I'm like, "What the crap? Like, why are things blurry like that? Haven't ever been blurry before." Yeah, aging sucks, man.
Yeah, it's not good. It is not good. It's and I gotta tell you, I'm getting more and more used to this weekly show thing, because when you randomly texted me and said I'll be ready in 5 or 10, I was about getting to the point in my day where I felt like that my face was gonna melt off. So I was really glad that we got to this point and now we're here and it's all better.
Yes. Agreed. So this being the first 1 hour show that we're doing with segments, we're trying to figure out exactly where segments fit in, and so I'm proposing we just do segments right here at the top, because I want to make sure we get to them and have some time to chat about them. And so how do you feel about just jumping
into segments? Let's do it.
So we're gonna jump right in to Brigham. Brigham has sent us a segment about the Steam Link again. He sent us a segment earlier about the Steam Link, and now I have one in my house, and so I will tell you a little bit about that after Brigham tells us a little bit about it as well, after hearing us talk about it when I said I had ordered it and not gotten it yet. And so now I've gotten it. Now we can have some discussion. So I'm going to have Brigham talk to you, and then we'll talk to you, and then we're going to come back and world premiere of the GU Boogie. I'm pretty pumped about that. So for right now, here is Brigham.
What's up, Jamie and Tommy?
It's Brig.
You guys know it. So I literally had to pause the most recent episode for the Steam Link to explain how it works. It's super easy to set up. By the way, if you can't set it up, then I'm sorry. You're a lost cause. one thing, Jamie, by the way, on your computer, the reason why your BIOS could change the boot settings, because there's always the boot order. And if it detects multiple drives, it could, there's multiple factors that BIOS update can revert your boot order. And you, it's really simple, it's a quick switch to change your boot order. It just literally go in your BIOS. If it's an Intel, usually it's FA is the hotkey. I would recommend press F8, F10, F11, and F12 all at the same time when you boot, because every motherboard, every operating system is different, or almost every is different, but generally Intel is standard with F8. Anyways, you go into the boot settings, change the boot sequence, and you're set. Just sometimes they can go in order by serial number, manufacture date, numerical order. So if 7 is before 10, well, 7 comes up for Windows. But that being said, for the Steam Link, the way it works is just pure screen share. The hardware is pretty much a Raspberry Pi, which is not the Raspberry Pi in there, but it's essentially the same concept. Very many minimal specs and application to screen share. So one biggest thing is, if you do not have a gigabit network internal, LAN, which means your router is gigabit capable, and your cables are at least Cat5e. And that's very important, the E's on there, because those are the full gigabit. If you have Cat5, you're going to sacrifice your latency. If you have a Cat7 network, you got Cat5, Cat5e, Cat6, and Cat7 now. Cat6 can handle 10 gigabits per second. Cat7, I believe, is 100 gigabits per second. Yeah. Now, this also all depends on your router, the NIC on your computer, your own personal hardware, your read and write capabilities, etc. And also as a LAN access. So anyone streaming takes up part of the LAN network. But also the higher resolution, higher frame rate, the more advanced local area network bandwidth it will require. Controllers, do a wired controller if possible. Wireless controllers do have a latency, period, no matter how close you are to it. There's enough of the latency because the wireless got to go to the wireless and then transfer over the network and back to you for the video signal. And input, because all your input is not even on the Steam Link for with the relay. The game's not on the Steam Link, obviously, it's on your PC. So while you're playing, you can literally have someone in your bedroom or living room, wherever the PC is at, watching you play. And you're seeing the same thing on the TV. You can also share your entire desktop, not just Steam itself, but like, say, if you have 3 monitors, you can only put all 3 monitors on your screen. That's going to look ugly on the TV, but you have that ability. Don't get the Steam controller. It's total fucking garbage. I don't give a fuck about its customizability, whatever. It's useless. It's a piece of total trash. Latency, the ability to control, and that little touchpad is just total utter garbage. Don't waste your money. Steam Link, it's worth it. If you got an Xbox One controller, wire it. If you need extended cable, those do work. However, what I do recommend is, even though the, if I recall correctly, the Xbox One controller is not USB 3, but if you, I've noticed that if I took a USB 3 cable, that automatically downgrades to 2.0, and you hook up for extension, obviously, and then you downgrade it, it performs a little better. But in the long run, if you just use a mouse and keyboard, you're gonna be better off. For the Steam Link. And yes, you'll need a, probably a good extension, a USB extension cable, depending on where you're setting everything up. So, but all it is, it's just fucking screen share. You can literally use it, repurpose a laptop, or make your own Steam Link, to make it, because they have the application available. I believe you can also put Steam on it and then share it just with Steam on it. So, you can make it. I know I have a friend, he made it. He took his old Windows Vista laptop and turned it into a Steam Link. It's total shit latency, but it works. So you can do it with just about anything. So that's how that works. I haven't submitted a segment. I know you guys are looking for segments for a long time. This one, but I have a big surprise coming up. Like, major. Not job industry, but how I want to record a segment. It's just money situation, in the sense of affording the one little aspect I need, then attaching it to a specific part. I can't really give a hint because of, you understand how I'm recording it and where I'm recording it. But I think you guys will like it, because as far as I'm aware, no one's going to be recording the way I will be doing. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Deuces. let us know what your opinion is on the Steam Link. And if you get the Steam controller, let's go ahead and let us know how you think of it. In my opinion, it's a piece of fucking shit and deserves to get the hammer to it and then not exist in. Thanks. Bye.
Wow. Wow. Like, okay. I love that dude. I love that dude. Because every time he talks, it's like he's chewing coffee beans.
I know, like, right?
Seriously, like, it's like he just got a wand in his cheek. And he's just sucking in things. And that caffeine is leaching into his body. He's going 8,000 miles an hour. Love that guy.
Yes. I agree. Good content there. And so let me mention, I've got Steam Link in my house now, so a little experience with it, including that segment you just heard was running off of my Steam Link, trying out something today.
What?
Right?
What?
So how I have things set up in my house, and when you were here, I had modified a little bit. So typically, your spot that you hung out in our den, where you kind of parked, where we watch press conferences and all that stuff. Typically, I have a little desk there, and that's where I typically work from in the main room, so I can hang out with the wife and the kid and all that. And so that's where my PC typically lives, is in that den and not in my office. But I do the show in the office because it's treated and they don't want to be a part of it every week or whatever. You know?
Right.
So right now, my PC is in the other room. So I set the Steam Link up in here and have it connected. And it really, it's just like Brigham said, it's a glorified remote desktop. That's all it is. The thing's tiny, but it just connects to Steam via big picture mode. But you just go in and shut off big picture mode, and it's just your desktop. It's just a remote desktop application. And so I have that running through my little TV sitting here in front of me, and in the audio output of that running into our recording rig, and thus there you go, that audio you just heard was actually playing off my PC in the other room, which is kind of cool, you know, technology. I was a little worried about trying it, if it was going to just totally flake. It did totally flake. It caught a couple of times, and so you'll probably hear that in the other production we'll run here in just a second too. But all in all, I thought it was pretty good, and on low quality MP3 that a podcast is anyway. Yeah,
you're
probably not
going
to notice. So
it
works really well, and I'll say this: I don't have it hardwired right now. My PC in the other room is all Wi-Fi because I don't have an Ethernet connection in there at this point. I'm planning to at some point run one, but I don't have one yet, and so I'm actually running the Steam Link Wi-Fi. The Steam Link itself is hardwired into the network, but my PC that it's running from isn't. And it still works really pretty well, which I was kind of surprised by. I thought it would be pretty laggy and terrible just over Wi-Fi, but it's working decently well. Not awesome. I could play a game over it and be happy. I probably wouldn't want to play something that's really twitchy or action-oriented, because I'm sure there is more latency because of the Wi-Fi. But I could play like Frostpunk that we talked about last week. I could play that over that, no problem.
It'd be that's awesome.
Fine. So yeah, it's a cool little box. Paid $250 for it on the Steam Summer Sale. It comes with an HDMI cable in the box, and so the little thing, the little kind of Raspberry Pi-ish little computer and an HDMI cable and the power cord for $250 plus, I think it was like $7 shipping. So all that for less than $10. Still a no-brainer. Like, that's a handy little device. Very cool.
I did not get one because I knew it was going to be a long, long time until I got it set up.
Sure.
So I did not spend money on that. I should have.
Yeah.
Because that's a nice little piece of tech.
It's a cool piece of tech.
But the shipping, I was like, it's going to be months before I get this set up, and whenever that is, it's probably going to be the next time Tommy's here, yeah. And I have no idea when that's going to be, so I did not pick one up.
Yeah, that's
but
fair.
I should have.
I don't know if I'll use it a ton, but for this, like, so usually I have a PC running in my office here that I run production and show notes off and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not today. I'm running everything off the Steam Link, which is really cool. Now, if my connection all of a sudden fails for whatever reason, like my router drops out and I can't get access to stuff, it's going to be a little more challenging. But as long as my network stays stable, like, yeah, I found at least one use for it. I have yet to play games on it, candidly. I haven't played a single game using the thing. But for a little remote desktop box, It's kind of cool. It's neat tech. And again, for less than $10 for the whole thing, shipped to my front door. You can't beat it. It's worth taking a risk on. So fun little piece of gear. So thanks, Demons. Thanks, Brigham, for the segment. So now we got one more before we get into to the news for this week. This one, of course, from our boy Cabbage, who at your request took a little bit of the last show, both my little yelling at Skype moment on the last show and your, I think, yelling at millennials moment in here. and set up a new GU Boogie, which, if you remember, for people who have been around for a while, GU Boogie 1.0 was the Howard Dean scream, which we'll have to bring back at some point as well because it's phenomenal. But this is GU Boogie 2.0, and it is every bit as fabulous. And so you'll hear kind of the build up from the last show to what led to the GU Boogie thing, and then you'll hear the new GU Boogie. So without further ado, here is GU Boogie 2.0. The ever persistent rumor of Google getting into gaming. We also have this with Amazon. Amazon, we've seen their little bit of a foray into gaming at least. And so here's apparently Google's plans, or at least rumored plans, going into the future. Sorry, my Skype is trying to sign out. Dang it, Skype.
I still got you. We're all good.
We're all good. It's trying to update right now. It's stupid. Thing is trying to update in the middle of a freaking call, and it's like trying to freaking hang up the call because it needs to freaking update after I told the thing not to freaking up. Sorry. Okay. So what the crap, Skype?
See, that's what I was talking about. That is gold.
Why would you update while I'm in the middle of a call and then say, hey, we're signing you out. Are you sure you want to sign? No, I never said I wanted to sign. I'm not sure I want to sign. Of course not. You idiot. Okay, sorry. Freaking technology, man.
Sorry. That just made my week. Seriously, that's the whole week right there. That's snake cabbage. That's a segment. That's a segment. That is production right there. Get Fair that enough. Done. I love you, man. Get that done. I'm telling you right now. Get it done.
And now for something completely different.
Word. The value of life.
It's trying to update right now.
One of these millennials that watches millennial slime. Word. The value of life.
It's trying to update right now.
One of these millennials that watches millennial slime. Why? Do it right. Get slime.
Freak it up. Freak it up.
Slime. Do it right. Get slime.
Freak it up. Freak it up.
Slime. Word, value of slime.
It's trying to update right now.
One of these millennials that watches millennial slime. Word, value of slime.
It's trying to update right now.
One of these millennials that watches millennial slime. Slime. Do it right. Get slime.
Freak it up. Freak it up.
Slime. Do it right. Get slime.
Freak it up. Freak it up.
Slime. Do it right. Get slime.
Freak it up. Freak it up.
Slime. Do it right. Get slime.
Freak it up. Freak it up.
Slime. Okay. So I have to admit something shameful. I've heard that twice. And I kind of had the head bob going on. I had the head bob going on. I was kind of grooving to the GU Boogie 2.0. Yes. And I have a request. Because you are not teaching as much this fall as you have been. But I think you're still going to teach a couple of classes. That has to go into a production class somewhere.
It's pretty great. Yeah. And my favorite part of the whole thing is that he used the Toe Jam and Earl music for it.
Yeah.
Which is just phenomenal. So
I have to mention one thing about Cabbage. I don't know if you ever watch during the NBA season. I don't know if you ever watch Inside the NBA with Ernie, Shaq, Kenny, and Chuck.
Sure, sure.
But they have a Shaq is forever doing something funny or seeing something funny, and tells this guy Offset, who they call Underdog, to put that on a T-shirt. And it occurred to me that Cabbage is our underdog. Like, he's our underdog. And nobody else got that reference except you and I. But he's the underdog of Gaming Uncensored. And so I love that I can just tell Cabbage to do something with a piece of audio, and it gets done.
And a week later.
I feel really bad for the guy because I'm pretty sure he didn't sleep that night. He had to get up and go to work the next morning, but it got done. So I appreciate that.
Yes, very much so. It is. It was phenomenal. So thank you for GU Boogie. The return is what he called it, GU Boogie the return. So now we've got to look out for what's going to make GU Boogie Part 3.
Well, I'm trying to think of something absurd and funny just to make him work on something this week, because now it's like a personal challenge.
Right.
Like, it's like, can I do something funny enough to make him pull it out and make it a piece of production?
Yeah, that's a valiant challenge. I like it. So
right now I don't have it, but we've got about 25 minutes left. So,
we'll see. Yeah. we probably need to give the dude some space. Like, if we get GU Boogies every week, it's gonna undermine the awesomeness of GU Boogie. So yeah, we don't want to oversaturate GU Boogie-ness either.
I love that it's a word now. I love that we have our own boogie. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair.
Yep.
All that being said, shall we talk about some news from the week?
Let's do it.
Let me actually, before we jump into that, let me big thanks to Patreon guys: Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, and Zeke. Of course, as always, thank you guys for contributing to the show and helping us do what we do. We appreciate it a ton. If you are interested in joining those guys on Patreon, you can do that quite easily. Go by gamingandcensor.com and click the Become a Patron link right there at the top of the page over on the right hand side. There's been quite a bit of content. There's still all the good E3 content up there. The E3 content stuff was really fun, and so go check that out. There's also been pretty regular content from us both. I'm proud that we've been keeping up with getting some stuff out there, and so
I have to plead ignorance, because the only reason I have content up there right now is because I did that before E3.
Well done.
And I'm recording video, but it's going to take a little time to get something else put together. So
that's fair.
We've just been lucky at this point.
Yes, fair enough. We'll
talk about what I've been playing a little bit later after we get through some news here. But yeah, we've got lots of new video to deal with.
Yep. And I'll mention too, if you're not on Patreon, there's good new content over at the website too, just gamingandcensored.com. And so if you're not participating on Patreon, obviously we'd love to have you contributing there. But go by gamingandcensored.com, because some of the new content is showing up there as well. So yeah, good stuff. All that being said, now let's jump into news from the week. It's going to focus mostly today on Bethesda and Ubi. A couple of news things from Bethesda, and then different approaches to the future of gaming from Bethesda and Ubi that we'll discuss, and I think we'll take up probably most of the rest of the show, because it'll be a good conversation. So first of all, Todd Howard's just been out talking a lot, so we've just got all kinds of news, because Todd Howard's kind of awesome and just like, we'll talk to people and tell them all kinds of newsy things. And so one of the kind of newsy things we got is about Starfield. Starfield, of course, is the new IP from Bethesda, their first new IP in 25 years, is what they said at E3, that we know zero about at this point, other than it's going to be spacey. I think that's fair to say with a name like Starfield and a little teaser we got. Outside of that, we know very, very little. A couple things we know that he talked about is that he's calling it a next-gen single-player game. All new epic franchise, first franchise in 25 years, like we mentioned. But next gen and single player. So I think those
Wow, Todd, you really got out there, buddy. you really worked that, didn't you? Next gen and single player.
Shocking.
Wow.
Man. But to be fair, those are both kind of newsy things from right now, the company that's about to put out Fallout 76. And so what we know about Starfield at this point is it's not going to be an Elder Scrolls Online or a Fallout 76 type game. At least that's what it looks like. And what they mean by next gen, because to hear Bethesda say next gen is also a little weird in that I always associate Bethesda first with PC. And maybe that's unfair, but I just like, Elder Scrolls to me is a PC franchise. Doom is a PC franchise. Wolfenstein is a PC franchise.
Fallout's a PC franchise.
Because that's where I've played almost all those games forever, and especially started on all those games way back in the day. And so to hear him say next gen, you know, is interesting in that it hints to a couple of things, and he kind of talks about this. It hints to this ain't close. We're not seeing this game in the next couple of years. I don't think that's super surprising. But he also said that for him, next gen also means gameplay. What does the next generation of epic single player RPGs feel like to us? And I don't have a good answer to that. Like, I'm kind of curious. Like, what do you think the next generation of epic single player RPGs feels like? Like, what could be added to, say, Skyrim? I'm talking in the world of Bethesda right now, to make it feel next gen as far as gameplay goes.
You know what I think? I think you have to think kind of outside the box, and I'm thinking as next gen as going back to old school, because we played some classic RPGs that just don't exist anymore. Like, some of my favorite RPGs and your favorite RPGs were I think about RPGs like Vagrant Story, Chrono Trigger, that type of stuff that was, Chrono Trigger especially, was extremely, extremely story-oriented. And I love the Elder Scrolls. I love Fallout. I love all of that. But the one thing that Bethesda kind of sort of struggles with, I think in some ways, is a really, really, really deep story. And I know you're sitting over there about to fall out of your chair, but I was thinking about it this week because I actually reloaded it. The main quest for Skyrim is about 6 hours. And they have a ton of side stuff. I looked on Steam the other day. I have something crazy like 154 hours in Skyrim. Sure. And I haven't even finished the main quest. But a lot of that is, a lot of the story and a lot of the things that we love about it is created by walking around the environment.
Yes.
It's not like a Witcher 3 type story. So I really feel like that when Todd is talking about Starfield and where it's going to go, I think they're going to revert back to some of that old school stuff that they've never really done.
Yeah, I will actually say I agree with you 100%. I think you're spot on about story in both Skyrim and Fallout, in that it's good, it's fine. I was interested in the story in both of those games. The story for Fallout 4 gets a little weird, and so it was kind of, some people loved it, some people hated it, and kind of the big twisty thing of it. I liked it. I thought it was a really interesting approach to the game and made it feel a little bit different. But yet, at the end of playing Fallout 4, I still wasn't like, oh, that's a fantastic narrative. It was good. Well, and the game carries a lot of that. The gameplay is fun. The environment is fun. And the story is good enough to keep me interested in pushing through the game. But it's not a stellar story. And I think they can do better with that. I'm glad you brought up The Witcher 3, because in my mind, while you were talking, that's kind of what popped into my head as well, in that I think of The Witcher 3 being kind of a next-gen kind of spiritual successor in a lot of ways to Skyrim, in that they are similar in a ton of ways. They kind of have a similar environment. They kind of have a similar vibe and feel. They definitely have their own kind of unique qualities too. But they're both these big epic fantasy RPGs. But The Witcher has a much more compelling kind of narrative element to it, while not at all losing out on the like wandering around side quests, getting into these new stories type of things that Skyrim and Fallout do so well, that you just kind of stumble into things that is a rabbit trail that you spend 5 hours in game on that you never had to do and could have completely ignored or missed if you just hadn't have made this one left turn or whatever. I think The Witcher is just more polished in that way.
The left turn in Albuquerque.
Right.
I've got Bugs Bunny.
Good Bugs Bunny reference.
But the reason I bring this up is because one of the games that I've been playing this week is Fallout 4. And it was hilarious to me that when I fired it up, and the reason I fired it up over the weekend was because I couldn't get Deus Ex Mankind Divided to boot. Because apparently when I installed the graphics drivers for my video card, it broke DirectX 12, and it took me a couple days to figure that out. Apparently NVIDIA and DirectX 12 aren't playing real nice, and if you are using DirectX 12, whether it works or not depends on what version of the driver you're on. It took me a couple of days to figure that out. Because I couldn't get it to boot, I booted up Fallout 4. And within 30 seconds, Duff was in my box freaking out. Like, holy crap, you played Fallout 4? Oh my gosh! And I'm totally cleaning it up because he was freaking out. And so I started playing, and I'll talk a little bit about what I thought about that maybe later. But one thing that grabbed me was I played Fallout 3, I played New Vegas, and I don't feel like there's a lot new in Fallout 4 story-wise. Fallout has been basically the same story for 20 years. And I really think that they can adjust that.
Yeah. I would go as far as to say they're a little bit lazy in their storytelling. That Bethesda, yes. Like, and they can be because they have good games. Like, don't hear this as a knock on Fallout or Skyrim or whatever. I really, really love Bethesda games. But it is a little bit lazy in that they know they don't have to bring the narrative because they have other things that are going to carry the game for them. Fallout has the VAT system, which makes the gameplay really fun. It has this environment that's not like anything else out there. And so there's a lot of things that it can stand on without having to have that narrative there. And Fallout 76 coming, which is the next thing we're talking about. And so good segue into that. Fallout 76 probably isn't going to have the most riveting story either, because it's this online multiplayer thing. And so it's probably going to, I would think and kind of hope, feel a lot like the other Fallout games, because honestly, the story from Fallout 3 or Fallout 4 could work in an online multiplayer kind of setting, with some tweaks, of course, but you could do a similar thing story-wise with other players inhabiting that world, because the stories just aren't that deep. They don't have all these kind of tendrils and everything that really have to be well supported by, you know, the narrative, the pacing, the whatever in the game. And so that being said, that means that Fallout 76 probably isn't going to have this deep, mind-blowing story, and I think that's fine. I wouldn't expect it to.
Well, and the thing about Fallout 4, you played Fallout 4 2 years ago, so you probably don't realize it, but I see a lot of Fallout 76 in Fallout 4. Fallout 4 is not like Fallout 3 and not like New Vegas. It does things that are different enough gameplay-wise that I'm not sure I like it. It's faster. It just feels quicker.
Yes.
And for a guy that has reflex issues, that's a problem.
Sure.
And so when I was playing it this weekend, I thought there is more Fallout 76 in here than people are aware already.
Sure.
I mean, I think that's where they got the idea, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I think there's a progression from Fallout 3 to Fallout 4 to Fallout 76, that it is kind of the pacing is increasing. And obviously with Fallout 76, of not being able to do freeze time or heavily slowed out time fats, that's going to increase even more. But you're right, the way that Fallout 4 plays is a different feel than Fallout 3. I really enjoyed it. I liked how it felt a lot, but I could also see where you're coming from.
And see, I don't know, because what got me was what I loved about VATS and the Fallout franchise to this point was I could click the button and I could take my time. In Fallout 4, time doesn't stop. It gets slow, but it doesn't stop. And I got really annoyed because I'm getting out of the vault and I click on bats to figure out how I'm going to handle a bunch of rad roaches and didn't really realize what was going on. And I got taken out by some freaking rad roaches. I've got 400 hours in Fallout 2 right out long, and I got taken out by some rad roaches. That's ridiculous. It really pissed me off. And I just like, I'm sorry. I know it's not that big a deal. I know it's not, but that's that I'm actually considering looking for a mod,
sure,
to modify that.
That was going to be my suggestion. Also, I don't know. Have you looked in the settings to see if there's like a VAT speed setting? Like if you can change that?
I don't know if
it exists or not, but it's worth looking. If not, almost certainly there's a mod that'll do it. That's one thing I haven't done on Fallout 4 because I did play it on PS4. I'm all about Bethesda games on PC. But I got Fallout 4 via Gamefly, and so I played it on the PlayStation. And so I didn't do any kind of mods with Fallout 4. I'd kind of like to pick it back up and do that. Obviously, time is a consideration there. But to go back into that world with mods, like Skyrim with mods, is a completely different experience. And so I imagine Fallout 4 is the same way, and that would be fun to do. So, yeah. So all that being said, Fallout 76 news now, which of course is coming in just a few months. We'll start with crossplay. And so this has been a topic as of late. And it's still a topic, and so you might be wondering, hey, Fallout 76 is this multiplayer Fallout thing. I have a PlayStation. My buddy has a PC. Are we going to be able to crossplay? Here's again from Todd Howard, quote, "You cannot do crossplay in 76. We would really love that, but right now we can't." Okay, so the guy who was interviewing him, which is from a website called GameStar.de in Germany, I suppose, asked him why. This was Todd Howard's response. "Sony is not as helpful as everyone would like," end quote. So all the talk we've had recently with Sony not playing nice on the crossplay thing is back in a big way with Fallout 76. That Fallout 76, at this point, is it going to have crossplay? And Todd Howard is placing the blame squarely on Sony.
That's not good.
That's not good.
I mean, like, there's no other way to put that. That is not good.
Yeah.
And this is something. This is. I've been watching Designated Survivor. You're big on White House type stuff.
Yep.
You guys watched anything Aaron Sorkin forever, and that's kind of his thing. And so I've been into that, and this, I believe, is what we would call in a White House drama an escalating crisis.
Yes.
And I believe that Sony is getting to the point where if they don't shut up and moonwalk like Michael Jackson never moonwalked in his life, they're going to have a serious problem.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right. This thing is snowballing. It's a story every single week somewhere, some other game. Somebody's having a problem with Sony. And again, what Sony is thriving on right now is that they have excellent first-party software, and most of it's single-player-based. And so in that world of excellent first-party single-player software, crossplay doesn't play into that even a little bit. Like, they don't care with the thing that's kind of their sweet spot right now. But the thing is that's not the only thing you do. That may be, like, what you showed off at E3 and everything else. But, okay, for you and I, with Fortnite, you know, it's worth talking about because it's obviously a big deal. But it doesn't affect you and I personally.
No.
But this is getting much closer to home with you and I personally, because we both love Fallout, and we both play on PC and also PlayStation, and so if I got this game on PlayStation and you had it on PC, being that it's a multiplayer game, we would sure like to play it together, and won't be able to. And again,
and
at the fault of Sony.
And look, I'm probably not going to play 76 if you can't play it with me.
Right.
Like, and not just you. I'm not everybody else out there. Duff, I'm talking to you. You're another person that I want to play 76 with. Cabbage, there's a few people out there, but that's a very, very, very small group. And if we don't all have access to it because some of us are trying to play on a PlayStation, that's dumb. Like, yes. There's just no other way around it. It's dumb.
And what Sony has done for that exact reason that you just mentioned, that the people that I want to play the game with as well are on PC, they've ensured that I'm going to play this game on PC. Like, I would have potentially picked it up on PlayStation. I don't know which one I would have picked it up on at this point. We could have done it on either, but by saying, you know, Sony's not playing along, so if you want to cross-play, everybody has to be on the same platform. Okay, then decision's made for me. I don't have to think about it anymore. I'm playing Fallout 76 on PC, and Sony's losing out on having somebody else on this game on their service platform, whatever. So, whatever, but it is snowballing. It is something that Sony is going to have a mea culpa on at some point, I believe. And sooner the better.
You know what it's starting to feel like? It's starting to feel like the PlayStation 3. And I said last week, somebody bring back Kevin Butler, that the whole reason Kevin Butler came out was because of all of the issues that they had to start. Yeah. And we're getting to the point where they're going to have to do that again, because this is getting out of their control in a hurry. I mean, for crying out loud, I hate to make this reference, but it's in my head. Sony is being very Trump. Like, seriously, they got some Trump stuff going on there. And they're kind of being belligerent about it.
Yeah.
You know? They're kind of being belligerent about it, and it's not entertaining at all.
They've chosen a hill to die on that doesn't seem like there's any reason to die on that hill. You know, like, why in the world is this where you're taking a stand about anything? It just doesn't make sense to me. So
No.
Whatever, and hopefully we'll see that change. So one more thing with Bethesda, and again, this is going to tie into the Ubisoft stuff. And so Bethesda, Todd Howard again. So again, Todd Howard, this time with Game Industry. So this is the third different publication that Todd Howard has talked to that we have news from this week. I like that guy, by the way. Go out and talk to everybody. It's great.
Yeah.
But with Game Industry, he talked about how future Bethesda games won't always take a games as service approach. And so obviously with Fallout 76, there's going to be a certain level of games as service because it is this kind of perpetual thing. It's not this standalone closed world single player narrative. So it's like an online game, like the Elder Scrolls or like World of Warcraft or Fortnite or whatever you want to place in here. That's not this, you know, you start at this point, you end at this point, but this kind of ongoing thing that's added to and changes and whatever. And that's definitely approaching the game industry right now. Todd Howard told Game Industry, quote, "It doesn't mark the future. Corporately, we've done a mix. People forget that sometimes. Elder Scrolls Online is one of the biggest online games in the world. We also have Fallout Shelter, which we keep updating in Elder Scrolls Legend." But then goes on to talk about other games that they've done that aren't the kind of games as service stuff. So keep that in mind for just a second and jump over to Ubisoft. With Ubisoft, the game that kind of gets brought up here is Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege, but this goes for a lot of other stuff as well. Vice President of Ubi, Lionel Renaud, talked about how they want to keep games kind of perpetual as games as services, and saying that they would like to give players lots of smaller stories instead of one contained narrative that you finish and then forget. And so while Bethesda is saying we don't plan on our games in the future always being this game as service, that we're going to have these standalone experiences, Ubi is kind of going the other direction, saying we're seeing our future games as being much more perpetual, not these finite experiences, is the way that they say it, that you'll keep getting content and can keep going in the game. And so two different approaches, both already happening, obviously, in the world of gaming, but where the future is. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I have plenty, but I'd love to hear your thoughts before I chime in.
I think it's arrogant of people, and I'm not going to throw Ubi under the bus here because lots of people are doing this.
Yes.
But I think it's kind of arrogant as for a game company to arrogant and lazy for a game company to say, we're going to give you lots of smaller stories to keep you playing, because you and I talk a lot about the fact that time is an issue, right? Yes. So let's say that Assassin's Creed becomes a games as a service type deal, and it just goes and goes and goes and goes. I like Assassin's Creed, you like Assassin's Creed, but if you're not careful, you're playing Assassin's Creed or Beyond Good and Evil, which is something that's near and dear to our hearts.
Yes.
And that's all you're playing, and you don't have time for anything else, including other Ubi games.
Yes.
Which I think at the end of the day, that hurts them as well as everybody else.
Yeah, I agree with all of that, and would say that at the point I'm at in my life now, as a grown man with a kid and a job and everything else, I once upon a time loved to see like Final Fantasy is 50 hours long. I'd be like, yes, that's great because I love this game and I can't wait to spend 50 hours in it. Honestly, if you tell me a game is 50 hours long to get through this like main story at this point, I'm probably going to go, I don't have time to play that game. You know,
like, I don't know how you got through The Witcher 3. I haven't started The Witcher 3 yet.
I know.
Because I know I don't have time.
Absolutely. That's a good example. And I can do one or two of those games a year. I did Zelda last year and spent tons and tons and tons of time with it. But that's it, you know, like I can't do a bunch of those games, and I'll do that, and I'll do a lot of little shorter experiences as well. And so when you tell me a game is kind of perpetual, and And when I hear shorter, you know, narrative experiences or whatever, what I hear in my head is this ridiculous idea that we talked about during E3 of the, quote, your story. You make your story or whatever. And I just hate that. I don't want to make my story.
That's like we don't have time to write a story, so you're going to make it.
Right. Like, we're going to leave this world as ambiguous and nebulous as we can so that, like, whatever happens to you is, we call it your story. And I'm kind of like, I call that just an undeveloped world, you know? Like, I want to play a game with, like, a narrative that I can connect with or whatever. And again, one of the reasons that we're so big on the Sony first-party stuff is because they do this really well. They do these narrative-driven games that aren't super long. So Uncharted is a great example of that. Last of Us is a great example of that. The Spider-Man game looks like it's going to be a good example of that. The other games we saw from them, Ghost of Tsushima and Death Stranding at E3, look like they're going to be good examples of that. That are complete experiences that, like, I can go through and I can end. And this is the thing, because the kind of thing that the Ubisoft vice president said was, we don't want, I'm paraphrasing here, but we don't want you to play these games and then just forget them. If you give me a really good, intriguing game, I'm not going to forget it. You know, like, it's going to stick with me. The Last of Us sticks with me because it's a fascinating, amazing game.
The original Beyond Good and Evil. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you can pull that off, if you can give me a really good game, like, I'm not going to forget about it. I'm going to have this experience with it that ends, and then I move on and play something else. Possibly a UB game, possibly another game, but I'm going to play something else and come back to it. The other thing, obviously, with this games as service thing is then they have to figure out how to monetize it. Because if you just pay for an experience, if you're paying, you know, $60 for a 20-hour game experience, you kind of, like, it works out. You kind of do the math for how much time, whatever. I don't get that deep into it, but you can rationalize that. When you get into this games as services world, first of all, is it a free-to-play or is there a cost to play it on the front end? And then what other ways do they try to get you for money once you're 60, 80, 100 hours in? Because at some point, like, their cost-to-benefit ratio of having you play that game and not their other games starts dropping. And so that's when they start trying to get you to buy, you know, loot boxes or, you know, cosmetic upgrades or whatever, and you just kind of get inundated with, go buy power crystals so you can upgrade your, you know, whatever to allow you to be this character with blue hair, you know? And it's like, well, I don't want any of that stuff in my game. I just want to play a game. But games and services require that stuff because you got to keep the money flowing. If you're a massive deal like Fortnite is, it works out pretty easily. I'll share a quick story. We had some family in last week, and they have a kid that's, I don't know, 12 years old, I'm making that up, but somewhere in that range, who plays Fortnite. And he spent like $100 on Fortnite, on just buying cosmetic stuff of his own money, of like his mowing the yard money or whatever that he spent into Fortnite, because that's what he does. That's like his hobby. That's what he plays all the time. But I was just sitting there like, I could never, ever imagine paying $100 on cosmetic stuff in a video game, you know? Like, I just, like, the value of that just seems so foreign to me.
Well,
but that's what you got to do.
He doesn't really understand that at some point that game is not going to be a big deal and his stuff is going to go away.
Right.
and that's... That's where I get stuck. That's where I get annoyed at PUBG. That's where I get annoyed at Fortnite. That's where I get annoyed at insert new game here.
Yes.
That does this stuff, because I don't care how big your game is. I don't care how good it is. At some point, the server that it lives on that has all your crap is going to get shut down, and you're going to lose it.
Or you're going to get bored with the game eventually, and even if it's still there, it has no value.
And how many, you know, if you get bored and then you realize, holy crap, I just put $200 into this game over the life, like, how bad are you going to feel at that point?
Yeah, I say that, but we played World of Warcraft for years and paid $15 a month for World of Warcraft or whatever it was for years.
But to me, that is different because we paid the $15 for the right to play the game.
Yes.
Okay. And then everything else was in game that you could, like, you could do things to get gold, which got you to the auction house and got you more stuff, and you could sell stuff and so on. But that was all in game. You weren't paying cash into World of Warcraft. To me, that's different.
I agree. I do think it's different, but I rationalize that as having value for me playing that game for years and years and loving it. I don't regret paying that money to play World of Warcraft. And so I can see how you could rationalize it, too, of saying, I really enjoy playing Fortnite, and I really like playing Fortnite with this ridiculous hat, you know, and whatever, like, I find value in that. It makes the game more fun or enjoyable for me, whatever. I still don't get it, but at the end of the day, the value of my World of Warcraft subscription is roughly equal to the value of have hats in Warcraft or in Fortnite today. You know, like it was valuable to me at the time because I was enjoying the game experience, and it's not valuable to me now because it's not an asset that had any kind of residual benefit to my life or whatever. You know, other than the fact that I played that game and I really enjoyed it, which is good. And I'm again, don't regret that.
And I think the other difference with World of Warcraft is that I have a feeling that at some point, one or both of us at some point will go back. And we're 10, 12 years into World of Warcraft at this point, and it's still running.
Yeah.
And so I have, you know, 700 gold and bags and all kinds of crap and, like, The thing with, I think World of Warcraft is an outlier because, no offense to Todd Howard and the Elder Scrolls Online, but World of Warcraft's still the biggest game on the planet. I mean, not being Fortnite or one of those, it's still the probably the biggest MMO on the planet.
Sure.
Like 13 years later.
Yep.
So to me, like, I feel like that value is still there because I could go back at any point. My crap's still there.
That's fair. I would also say if they make the classic version, the like vanilla version of World of Warcraft that's coming out. I don't even know when it's coming out, but this year, I think. I don't know. If they made that to free to play, there's a good chance I'd be playing some Warcraft. That's really the thing that's keeping me away from it at this point. So I just can't justify a subscription, but I would play it for free for sure. So. All that being said, there's lots of show notes that we're not going to get to, so let me mention a couple of things really quick. There's a really good video from Digital Foundry about Wolfenstein 2 on the Switch and how they made it work. Because when you see Wolfenstein 2 running on the Switch, you're going to be like, holy crap, that actually looks pretty good for a high-end game that, you know, was pushing at least some of the tech of PS4, Xbox One, PCs, and running on a mobile console is really quite impressive. And so they talk through some of the technical...
Compression.
They talk about some of the technical things they did, and even some of the cool kind of creative design things, like putting a wall up so that you can't see off into the distance and so that the GPU doesn't have to worry about draw distance stuff. Like, that's kind of brilliant, and something you probably wouldn't notice if you only played a Switch version of the game. And so a really good video and how they preserved a lot of the look of it without killing the game. So that, the PlayStation Store is having a big sale right now, their kind of Steam-ish sale. It's obviously not as good as the Steam sale, but there's a lot of really good games on there. Wolfenstein 2, by the way, is one of the games that's pretty heavily discounted right now, as is Doom. As is a lot of other stuff. Some of their really good first-party stuff, not Uncharted or Horizon, are not on this list. And so, but other stuff, lots and lots of stuff. And if you have a PlayStation Plus membership, it's all even more discounted. So a time to go get some games. And then one last thing I'll leave you with a little background music here. The Country Roads cover from Fallout 76 is now out on iTunes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Gonna make a little money.
And all that money is going to charity, which is great.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I
and it's
that.
A really cool cover of the song. And so, yeah, you should go buy it because it's 99 cents and it's going to charity. So there you go.
That is good stuff. I like it a lot. That is awesome. I don't even know who that is singing that, but I like it.
Yeah. So there you go.
I would have never thought to have done that, but that's a great idea.
Yep. It goes to Habitat for Humanity, by the way. That's, I think, the primary charity. I don't know if there's multiple charities that's going to, but primarily profits are going to Habitat for Humanity, which I love. Habitat for Humanity is a great charity. So there you go. Go pick it up and give some money to Habitat for Humanity.
We need to wrap this up because you got places to go and people to see. And holy crap, you got to put a kid in the car.
I know, right?
So
travel becomes a whole new thing when you're a parent. It's nutty.
We'll talk about that at some point because I've been through that adventure. You're now going through that adventure, and I'm laughing at you over here.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole new to you.
A whole new world.
So anyway, you guys know where all the good stuff is. We got the Patreon. We got the Facebook. Lots of stuff going on over there. We got the Twitter. That's always entertaining. I think Tommy has become a Twitter addict. I think it's finally got him sucked in.
It's really enjoyable. And at PodcastGU, by the way.
It's a lot of fun. At PodcastGU. Where else do they need to go, sir?
Facebook, website, you mentioned. Voicemail line at
509 game 210 segments. We need more segments.
Yes, we've got one in the queue right now from Zeke, but I think that's it. And so we need some more. So voicemail line 509 game 210, or just record something and email it to us, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. Brigham segment was off of SoundCloud. That works just fine. Send us a link. We'll play it. Whatever. We don't care as long as I can hit a button and audio plays. There you go. You did it. That's all we need.
And let's be really honest. We said we'd play anything last week, and we will, because you people are the ones that make this show. Okay? Yes. You people have always made this show, and that's why, even though we're at an hour-ish, we're still going to do segments, because the show is about you guys. So please submit those segments. Let us know what you think about whatever random stuff you got. And we will definitely play it. For right now, I think that's about everything, I believe. I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.